good to be in church tonight. If you're glad in church tonight, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I've been in church all week, having meeting all week. I wanted to share just a little bit. If you turn your Bibles, go ahead and turn your Bibles for our Bible study tonight to Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis chapter number 22, as you're turning, I've been in meeting in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, and it's been a great, it's called the River City Crusade. One of our missionaries out of our church, Brother Mike Blake, he's preaching there tonight, and then Friday night I go back there and preach. And tomorrow night, I want you to pray for me. I'll be preaching over to Riding Hare Lake. All this is outside stuff. I'm not really built great for outside because of my throat. But I want you to know, Monday night was the hottest I've ever been in my life. I mean, it was about 100 degrees under the tent. When I got done, everything I had was wet. But I want you to know, God moved in that service. And then last night, there's a young man got saved, and a man got called to preach. And boy, I was thrilled with it. I'm glad God's still in the saving business and helping business. And I want to thank God for all you first-time attenders tonight. We love church here, okay? And we're glad you're here. Welcome. I hope you feel welcome tonight. It's just a good place to be. Amen. Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to read several verses tonight. I'm going to give you a thought. I need what I'm going to preach tonight, and I think every one of us do. Will you stand to your feet, turn to Genesis 22. If you're there, say amen. If you're there.
Amen.
Amen. Genesis 22. And I'm going to read 19 verses, so just stay with me. And I've got a thought I want to give you tonight. I'm glad God's still on the throne.
Amen.
He's not asleep.
Amen.
He doesn't slumber.
Amen.
He's faithful.
Yes, sir.
When we get done tonight, you're going to see how faithful God really is. Genesis 22. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac." And I'll cover that. I'm going to get back to that in a moment. "Whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went in or unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Boy, thank God. What faith. "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son," boy, this is awesome here. It's not actually what I'm going to preach on, though I'll hit it some. "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth, look at this, his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven. Well, I like it when God calls. And he said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Y'all with me? And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as he said, to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your word. I'm glad that it's infallible, inerrant. I'm glad it's God-breathed. And Lord, when I study this passage of Scripture, I'm overwhelmed with all your promises and all your faithfulness. And great is your faithfulness. And Lord, tonight I pray, God, you'll help me as I study this passage of Scripture with my people tonight. I realize there are people in this room tonight that are in fiery trials in their life. They're facing things they have never faced before. They're having battles that they've never fought before. They're on ground that they've never been there before. And I pray tonight that you'll give them some help and some strength and some blessings from your word tonight. And that we go out of here tonight. We won't say, oh, what a great church. And oh, what a great pastor. But what we'll say is, oh, what a great Savior. What a great Lord. What a great Lord. Hallelujah. Bless us tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I'm going to try not to go build too much of a porch for myself, but I am going to give you some background. How many of you believe the life of Abraham is miraculous? Raise your hand if you believe that. Come on now, ladies and gentlemen. His life is miraculous. And by the way, I might say this, church, we're blessed because of him. The Bible said we're all the seed of Abraham by faith. Right, by the way, we have been grafted in. Israel right now is blinded, but the church, the Gentile church, has been grafted in. And by the way, it all is pointed back to Abraham. Somebody help me. When he was called in Genesis chapter number 12, he was called to go to a place he'd never been before, he'd never seen before, he never realized before. But you know what Abraham done? He said, okay, God, here I am. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to go where you tell me. By the way, that's the Christian life tonight. Our Christian life is the just shall live by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And sometimes I have to get beat my head. It's got to be beaten and beaten and reminded that if I'm going to live for God, I got to live by faith. If you study the life of Abraham, and some of you might be a little critical of him, but I think it could be said about all of us. Ain't nobody in here ain't made no mistakes. God had a Canaan land for him. God had a place of victory for him. I know at least two times he took a detour. Help me, I'm going somewhere with this. I want to share this with you. He took a detour two times. Two times he went down to Egypt. One time he went down and told a lie. Then the next time he went down there and brought a bunch of people out of Egypt that he should not have brought. And one lady he brought out, her name Hagar, that he should not have brought. Somebody help me preach. Should not have brought her. You say, what are you saying, preacher? He's just like all of us, okay? By the way, we still can live a life of faith, but ain't nobody in this room perfect. Abraham wasn't, but I'm not, and I wasn't, but I want to tell you, I'm glad that we still can trust God and live for God despite our weaknesses. Now, listen to this. How miraculous was it? He was 100 years old, and his wife was 90, and her womb was dead, and God gave him a boy. And guess what? That's where we're going to hear in a moment. And that boy was going to be the promised seed. Somebody help me preach. Everything that we had was in Isaac. All the blessings that was Abraham would ever get, Chad, was in Isaac. I want y'all to know something else. Can I say one more thing? And don't get shook at this, but I'm going to tell you this. Did you notice what it said about Isaac in chapter 22? How many of y'all notice that? He said, take Isaac, thy only begotten son. Now, wait a minute. Now, you say, preacher, does the Bible have contradictions in it? Absolutely not. But then somebody in this room might say, whoa. I finally got you. I finally trapped you, preacher. Because Abraham did have another son. And by the way, he did. By a woman named Hagar, who came out of Egypt, and his name was Ishmael. But I want y'all to look at me. God never, ever recognized Ishmael. If you go to the Sermon Mount, or the Temple Mount right now, there's what they call a Dome of the Rock. By the way, I've been in it. I took two tours over there, and we couldn't get in, but we did get up on the mountain the last time. In that temple, at that Dome of the Rock, there is a rock in there with blood on it. I don't know if it's the original rock, but that is the place that we're going to be preaching about tonight, where Abraham was told to go to Mount Moriah. Am I preaching? And offer some. By the way, that right now is under Palestinian authority, and the Muslims have control over it. But I want all of them to know something. They're going to be a temple built back in that area. And by the way, you said, preacher man, what are you saying? God never did recognize Ishmael, and he recognized Isaac. Now think about it. Now we're up to date to where I want to preach. Now, listen to me. All my hope's in Isaac. Everything rests on Isaac. He's the promised seed. Everything rests on Isaac. Now here's what God said to Abraham. I want you to take him, and I want you to go up in the mountain, and I want you to offer him as a burnt offering. How many of y'all just read that? God said that to him. I want you to go. And by the way, can I magnify it a little bit more, Lois? So I can tell everybody what a burnt offering was. Do you know what they did to get a burnt offering? They would slice the throat of the lamb. And then they would flay the lamb in pieces and burn it. And that's what God said he wanted Abraham to do with his son. I want you to go and offer your son as a burnt offering. Unimaginable. How's this going to work out? How are we going to get through this? But I want you to know something. They did get through that. And at the end of the chapter it said, they named the place Jehovah Jireh. You know what that name means? It means the Lord will see to it. There's people in this room, you came into this church tonight with battles and burdens and problems, but I want you to know I got a God who will and can supply every need you have and will provide a help for you tonight. Whew. Glory to God. I want to show you three things that God provided Abraham. And I want y'all, how many of y'all believe God still provides? Wave at me if He's done something for you. Wave at me if He's done something for you. Hey man, I don't have a boy named Isaac. And I have never worshipped in that mountain. But I want you to know something. I do know Jehovah Jireh. I do know the Lord. I do know He's able to supply. And I'm going to give you three things, then we'll go home. Number one. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. Number one, I want you to know it's an unfavorable scene for Abraham to be tried on. Hey, by the way, whether you want to believe it or not, we can't pick what we're going to go through. How many of y'all believe that? There's people in this room, all of us are going through different things. Some of you are going through physical trial tonight. Some of you are going through financial trial tonight. Some of you are going through trials with your family tonight and your children tonight. And by the way, I mentioned this today to somebody. So, hey, listen to me, I'm pretty tough skinned. But boy, when it gets down and I see my family hurting, I have a harder time with that than I do anything else. I'm serious about that. How many of y'all's like me, man? I can take a licking and keep on ticking, but when it's one of my kids or my wife or something going through something, it's tough. But I'm glad I got a God that can take care of me. It was a unfavorable scene. Look at it, Chase. By the way, you can't pick what you're going to go through. There's some of you tonight with heart problems. You can't pick what you're going to go through. I didn't know 6 years ago when I got that pacemaker put in my chest and my heart rate went down to 24 and they said I should have had a cardiac arrest. And I want all of you to know something. They told me that weekend I should have been dead, but I want to tell you something. God had something greater for this preacher. God provided for this preacher. God was able, by the way, I would have liked to pick anything than that. Amen. Look at that verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Or here I am. Listen to this carefully. Real submission, I'm going to quote this to you. Real submission is saying yes before the trial. It says, yes before the trial. Real submission is for you to say yes to the will of God when you don't know what the will of God is. Come on now. I can't forget when I got saved. I got saved by the grace of God 45 years and a half ago. Got called to preach September the 1st will be 45 years I got called to preach. I didn't know where my life was going to go. I was a bartender's boy. I was a mess. My life, Steve, you knew me before I got saved. Bill Lamont knew me before I got saved. I was a mess. Nobody thought he'd make anything. But you know what? When I got saved, you know what? I didn't know everything. I didn't even know who Zacchaeus was that went up in a sycamore tree. But I tell you what, I did tell God when He saved me, my life's yours. Whatever you want out of me, I'm going to do it. I'm saying yes to you, God, before I even know what you want. That's real obedience. Amen. Let me give you three little thoughts of that. They were nearer mountains than that one. That mountain was going to take him 3 days to go to. Now, there's a story behind that in a moment. They were nearer mountains. And I'm sure some of you are thinking, man, there's a lot of other things that happened to me other than what's happened to me now. And they were nicer mountains. If you go up to that place, by the way, you said, where was that place anyway? Can I tell you where this place was? It's the same place that David went down to Ornan's threshing floor. It is the same place that 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked up the southern part of that same mountain, Mount Moriah, and went and died for yours and my sin. That is where Abraham offered his son Isaac. Amen. And I want you to know something. Most of you haven't been to Israel, but I know where he was crucified. It's right behind a bus stop. And there's a skull there. You see it. The Bible said Calvary was a place of a skull. Two eyeballs and a nose. You could see it plainly. Right next to a garden tomb. Just like the Bible said. That's the place that he went. By the way, I really think it's symbolic. I believe there was something happening on that mountain bigger than just him going up there and offering his son. I think God was going to show him Calvary. I think God was going to show him that he had a lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world to die for us. Whew. It might have been nobler mountains. Not Hebron, and not Tabor. See, our problem is we want to pick what we're going through. There's some of you tonight, you're facing financial crisis. You're saying, what? How did I get here? But I want to tell you what, I got a God that's got it all under control. Let me give you a second thing. He provided an unfathomable strength in this trial. Can I make a statement to you? Listen carefully. There hath no temptation taking you that is common to man, but God will provide a way of escape in everyone. How many of y'all believe that? I want you to know something. I have found out that I've been through the valley and got down to when it was the darkest in my life and thought there was no way out. And guess what I found? I found that there's a God there. Woo! That's able and sufficient and wonderful to take me through. Let me give you a second thought with me. He provided an unfathomable strength. Look at verse 1 and 3. It was obeying strength. It was obeying strength. He was told to go in verse 1, and he said, behold, here I am. And in verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Can I tell you what's wrong in Christian today? Most people do not want to obey God. How many believe the secret of happiness is you obeying God? Chandler, when I got called to preach, I was working for the Department of Highways. And when I went into full-time ministry, got called down here, here's what I was told. You will starve to death, and those Baptists will treat you bad, and you'll never amount to anything. And you'll be back here looking for a job. I was young and now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And I want you to know something. If you obey God tonight, God will give you strength to get through what you're going through. I'm not even going to tell you to be taken away. But I will tell you, he'll give you strength to go through it if you obey him. He rose up early. See, it was a 3-day journey. How many's ever read the scripture? This scripture. The gospel was preached to Abraham. It's in the Bible. You said, how was that? Lois, I believe in Abraham's mind, he already killed his son on the way of Moriah. And 3 days later, God resurrected his son and delivered his son. Somebody, it was a picture of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Not only was it obeying strength, but it was overcoming strength. Overcoming the crowd. Overcoming the people. The name of Jehovah Jireh. We can march on for God. We can live for God. Just understand, I've got overcoming strength. God was going to help him overcome in his trial. How many have told you? How many of you looked over your spouse lately and say, made this statement, I don't think we're going to make it. I don't know how this can work out. How can God make anything good out of this? How's there ever going to be any hope? But I'm glad those that obey God, God gives them overcoming strength. Somebody help me preach. And then thirdly, I want you to notice in verse 6, 7, 8, and 9, it was offering strength. Chad, this is amazing to me. But they went up to that place and Isaac and Abraham built an altar. Amen? They built an altar. And Isaac said himself, there's the wood and the fire. Where's the lamb? I'll tell you who the lamb is going to be. Isaac. But you know what Abraham said by faith? And went beyond that mountain. God will provide himself a lamb. 2,000 years ago. Tony, 2,000 years ago. God. And you say, who was Jesus? He was God. God was manifest in flesh and came down here in the incarnation, robed in flesh, and went on that hillside called Mount Moriah to Mount Calvary and died for you and I. Somebody say amen. God provided himself a lamb. Amen. You've got how many children? Three? Who's the oldest? Stacey. Oh, she's the old gal. Stacy. Would you take her to a mountain and slit her throat and flay her in pieces? Unimaginable. Unimaginable. My oldest child is Julie, Elizabeth. Just put in your mind, how many of you got children? Raise your hand. Put in your mind a moment. Hey, Josh Roski, I know how proud of you are, your kids. You got them on Facebook every day. Could you imagine taking your little boy up to a mountain, cutting his throat, slicing him in pieces, laying them on an altar and setting it on fire? That's what Abraham was going to do. That's what he done. He put him there. Could you imagine taking a little Cole, that sweet little boy, cutting his throat, slicing him up, laying him on an altar and putting him in a blaze? I just don't think you're getting it right now. The hope of Israel was laying, was there, and Abraham was told to go and take his son and slay him. I want you to get it. Could you imagine putting Michelle and slitting her throat, flaying her up, putting her on a... No! But God gave him obeying strength, overcoming strength, and offering strength. I want y'all to look me right in the eyeball. You might be asking this question. I'm going to answer it for you. Do you really think he'd have done Well, let me ask you. Do you think he would have done it? I guarantee he was going to do it. And he was going to do it by faith. Hey, Joe. He had the knife up. You think he was going to do it? Oh, somebody else shout. Then God sent an angel. And said, no. Stop. Stop right there. Because now I know. Now I know. You know, sometimes God allows us to go through something. Somebody help me preach. To show us. And for us to show him. That we're going to live for him despite it. Man, somebody ought to walk around here and shout, Chad. There's some of you here tonight. You know what God wants out of you? He wants you to obey him. He wants you to have obeying strength. He wants you tonight to have overcoming strength. Now, some of you have been brought to tears recently. Your life is upside down. You've been hurt, misused, abused. But I want you to know Jehovah Jireh still is alive. I'll give you one last thing and I'm done. Woo! You said, does he have grace? He's got enough grace. Lastly, look at verse 11, 12, and 13, and I'll be done. I'm finished. Y'all there? And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham! Abraham! What? How did he answer him, Greg? How did he answer him? What? Well, when this thing did start, Greg, and God was going to tempt Abraham, how did Abraham answer him? You know what? His trial started out, here am I. And his trial ended, here am I. You know what? I'm looking at people in this room right now. I love you. Thank God for you. But I want you to know something. You know what our problem is? We don't want to say, God, here am I. Whatever it is, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, here am I. You know, oh, hallelujah. One last thing. Y'all there? He provides an unforgettable substitute. Look at verse 11, 12, and 13. I'm done. And the angel of the Lord called out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God. Ladies and gentlemen, do you fear God? Seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Now notice, and Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he looked. And behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Now write these three things down. This old man's about to shout right here. How many of y'all believe that God has perfect timing? Now, can I ask you a question? Come on, let's all get in this. When do we get restless? I caught myself a little restless today. When do we get restless and disturbed? Come on, answer it. When it ain't on your time. Am I right or wrong? Hey, Tyler, it's not when I think it ought to happen. But I want you to know something. God's never late. Now, I want you to know what was happening. Listen to this, folks. I'm about to get in shouting now. Abraham and Isaac was going up this side of the mountain. They didn't understand what was going on. But on the other side of the mountain, God had a providential, preordained ram going up the other side of the mountain. Now, let me give you three things about it. Boy, I'm about to shout. Number one, that providential ram came up in the right territory. I want all y'all to know that God knows where you're living in your life tonight. And I got a God that knows exactly what you're going through and can and will come to you in the right territory. Oh, what if the ram would have been 20 minutes early? No sacrifice. What if it had been 20 minutes late? No sacrifice. Not only did he come up to the right territory, the ram came in the right time. Oh, but that's not all. What if it had been a mule? What if it had been a donkey? It wouldn't have worked. See, that ram came up at the right time and right territory. But somebody raise your hand. He was the right type. I want you to know something. 2,000 years ago, there was another lamb come to the right territory. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Abraham's only begotten Son is a picture of God's only begotten Son who came into this world, came to this territory. And the Bible said in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. And by the way, He's the right type. I want you to know Jesus was virgin born. You say, why is that so important? That means the blood that run through Jesus' veins was the blood of God. And I want you to know something. There's only one thing can redeem you from sin tonight if you're not saved. And that is the blood of God. That's the blood of Jesus. And all this trial, all that Abraham was going through was only pointing everybody to the cross of Calvary, to the ultimate time that Jesus would come and die. Aren't you glad for a God that's in your trials, that knows exactly what you're going through and is able to secure you and help you. That same God is here tonight saying, if you just trust me, not your works, not your goodness, just by a place of faith in me, you could be saved and go to heaven. Bow your head with me. I want to ask this question. How many folks in this room are saved and you know it? Raise your hand if you're saved and you know it. Just hold them up. You're saved and you know it. Thank you. How many of you are going through some kind of trial tonight? Facing something. Come on. You're facing something. Raise your hand. Tell the truth. You're facing something. Yes. You know what? God's able. God's able. How many others would say, Preacher Smith, I've never been saved. I've never trusted Christ, but I tell you this, I don't want to die and go to hell. And I want you to know something, Preacher. I believe Jesus did die and come to this world for me. And I want to be saved before I die. I want to be saved before the Lord comes. If you're here and you're not saved, raise your hand and let me pray for you. If you're not sure you're saved. And those that's going through trials, won't you come up and just pray tonight? God will provide. Stand with me. Our Father, thank you for this little Bible study. God, help folks. Help folks tonight just to realize that you will provide for them in their darkest hour. There's folks up here praying. God, help others to come and join them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, Jesus. I surrender all to Him.
Amen.
I freely
for coming. Thank you for bringing your kids to Awana. Hope they've been blessed tonight. Come back and see us. We had several first-time attenders. We're glad you're here. You're our welcome guest. God bless you today. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the good service tonight, the Word of God. And Lord, I'm glad you'll provide. Sometimes I get so faithless. And Lord, we all doubt. But Lord, I'm glad that you provide. Thank for Greg. I was talking to him this evening. God, you provided him a job. You came right in the right time and right territory. And Lord, we're glad for it. And there's others you blessed that way. And help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.